Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, we're going to talk about why we should all be more worried about the housing market again. Despite publishing cautionary posts about investing in the stock market, bond market, and alternative investments, what I really should be talking about and writing about is investing in the property market at current record highs. Taking out massive debt doesn't sound like a good idea currently. If you lose 50% of your stock or bond portfolio, you'll be pissed off, but you'll be okay. If your property loses 20% of its value, however, this means you've lost 100% of your 20% down payment. And if it goes down even further, you're screwed if you have to sell. Most of you believe you won't need to sell if the property's down 20% or more, but the reality is, if it gets that bad, your job is probably on the line. Many people became forced sellers in the last downturn because they lost their jobs. So I understand that millennials are coming of buying age and inventory is on the decline and there's FOMO about missing out on further increases in property prices. However, only if you are fully cognizant of the following points I'm going to discuss, there are five of them, should you proceed with buying property today. Number one. Rents have softened from peak levels in many of the most expensive cities. Now, they stabilized over the past 12 months, but they are definitely down in places like New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Honolulu, San Diego, Miami, and so forth. So if you are buying at peak prices today, while rents have fallen from peak levels, you're paying a higher valuation. And that's a risky proposition now that we're 8 years into this recovery. In 2017, I experienced softening rents firsthand when I tried to find replacement tenants for my San Francisco rental property for $9,000 a month. That sounds like a lot, but that's the way it is in San Francisco. And after 45 days of aggressive marketing and hiring a leasing agent for 2 weeks, I couldn't find anybody for more than $7,500 a month. That's a 16.7% decline, folks. That is huge. So after I couldn't find anybody, I was like, well, I've got the bird in the pan, you know, he's in the bush as well. And I got this buyer who's a VC guy with a family and he wants to pay me 30 times annual gross rent for the new rental price. Sold to him. I'm going to sell and just get out. So I guess I am kind of biased because I sold, but maybe not really because I still have my primary residence and a rental property in San Francisco. The large supply of condos in many cities like Seattle, New York, Miami, San Francisco are really putting a damper on rents and housing prices. Please be aware. Two, mortgage rates are rising. We've seen the 10-year bond yield rocket from 1.4% in 2016 to now 2.85%. So that's a doubling. My last mortgage refinance was in 2016, and it was for, let's say, 2.5% for a 5/1 jumbo ARM. This same jumbo ARM is now 3.6%, which means that my $1 million mortgage goes from $3,951 to $4,535, which is a 15% increase. And a 15% increase is significant because average wages only increase by about 2% a year. And if interest rates go back to the pre-crisis levels or during the crisis, we're talking a 60% increase in mortgage payments for a lot of people. And that is really, really going to crush the housing market if rates go up too fast, too quickly. Three, prices have blown past their previous peaks in many cities. Did you know that prices in Denver and Dallas are about 45% higher than their previous peak prices? That's like San Francisco performance, but you didn't know that. Seattle, Portland, a lot of other cities, they're about 20% higher than previous peak levels. So the US median existing home price is about 12% higher than its previous peak, which is relatively modest rise since over 10 years have passed. So your key as a real estate investor is to not chase the markets that have tremendously outperformed. Rather, your goal is to invest in markets that have both underperformed and have the potential to catch up. Four, tax reform. It takes time to negatively impact housing prices, especially in the coastal cities. Conceptually, we all know that limiting state income and property tax deductions to $10,000 and limiting mortgage interest deductions on new mortgages up to $750,000 down from $1 million are net negatives for coastal city real estate markets. For example, in California, the average state income tax bill is around $16,000. And if you have a median priced home of $1.45 million, you're paying like $18,000 in property taxes. So you're right there, you're like at $34,000, and $24,000 of that is negated. You slap on a 30% effective tax rate, you're missing like $7,000, or you're paying $7,000 more in tax. That is painful. That is a net negative. And the thing is, homeowners won't feel the pain until 2019 because you're not going to do your 2018 taxes until 2019. So some will argue that lower income taxes will offset these deduction limitations, perhaps, but nobody really knows for sure until 2019. And by then, I think more people are going to be hurt by this on the coastal cities than helped. Five, it takes a while to recognize a peak. The housing boom that began in January 1996 ended in March 2006. Nobody really knew in March 2006. It wasn't until the beginning of 2008 that people started to finally accept the fact that housing had peaked. Until 2008, property investors were still clinging to hope, or at least were in denial that prices would no longer be going up. I clearly remember this time period because I unfortunately bought a vacation property in Lake Tahoe in 2007. The property was originally bought for $810,000 and I bought it for $710,000, so I thought I was getting a good deal. But no way did I realize or did I believe that prices were going to plunge another 30%+ due to the financial crisis. But once Bear Stearns was sold to JP Morgan for pennies in March 2009, and once Lehman Brothers went under in September 15, 2009, everybody started panicking. And that was a 2.5 years after the housing market had peaked. So it is very, very difficult to recognize a peak. If you click over to the post, you can see a great chart that shows how much property prices in various cities have boomed during the 1996 to 2006 boom, and then how much property prices crashed from April 2006 to December 2011. So for example, in San Francisco, property prices went up 227%, but then declined 41%. And what you'll also notice is that the boom was 10 years and the correction lasted 5 years. So we're right now 8 years into a bull market or a recovery. So we're in the late stages, if history is any guide. The mass media and the real estate industry will probably focus on strong demand, strong job growth, and a dearth of inventory as drivers for higher property prices in 2018 and beyond. I think it's obvious that they're biased, and if you just look at the news, nobody's really talking about a housing slowdown. But it's there. If you look at individual markets, you're beginning to see cracks in the foundation. I really don't recommend leveraging up to buy expensive coastal city real estate as an investment at this point in the cycle. Look into the heartland instead, where valuations are much cheaper and net rental yields are much higher. And we're talking cap rates of like 2 to 3% in San Francisco, whereas you can go to the heartland and get cap rates of 8 to 12%, no problem. And if you're dying to buy a primary residence today, make sure you can withstand a 20% plus correction over a five-year time frame, if history is any guide. Now, I don't think property prices will correct as much as the previous downturn because lending standards really, really tightened up after the financial crisis. So people actually had down payments instead of zero down payments and negative amortization loans. People are actually buying property in cash. And so if you have 20% plus equity in your house, you're going to be able to withstand a downturn quite well, and you're not going to give up your property to the bank or whoever just because of a 10-20% correction, right? Hopefully not. So I think things will be better this time around in terms of correction. Maybe we'll go down 5-10%, maybe 15%, but not much more. Just know that it's really debt that kills you during the hard times. Buy a house to enjoy life instead of looking to make a profit. I think really the easy money has been made. If you could have bought in 2011, 2012, 2013, maybe in 2014 when I bought my current property, could be okay. But now in 2018, please be picky. Please don't be in a rush to buy. Really pay attention to the 10-year bond yield and mortgage rates. If the 10-year bond yield breaches 3% and stays elevated at that level, I would start to get a little bit worried. But so long as rates go up in a gradual fashion and the Federal Reserve doesn't raise their Fed funds rate too aggressively, too quickly, I think things will be okay. Nothing is going to really drastically collapse in this pretty strong economy. Just be very wary of taking out too much debt that you cannot afford. Thanks so much, everybody, and let me know your thoughts about buying in today's market and where you think rates are going from here.